Spirit. So, dear friends, if you go to our first reading again today, we're still in the book of 1 Samuel. And I hope that over the past several days, as we have talked about 1 Samuel, that perhaps I have piqued your interest, that perhaps you have been curious enough or interested enough that you have gone and opened your Bible and begun to look at that first book of Samuel, and began to read the written word of God. Now, if you're not a 1 Samuel, that means I hope that you're at least reading something. You do know that, dear friends, that the reading and the study of sacred scripture is not an option. Let me emphasize that. It's not an option. As Christians, we are to be reading and studying the written word of God. That is an expectation, a demand of our discipleship. So if you're not reading something or you're looking for something that will, again, further help you in terms of your Christian formation, the book of 1 Samuel is great. It's a casual read. It allows us to walk through the life of both Samuel and then Saul and then David. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you're reading, you're studying some portion of the scriptures. Again, if you're not doing anything, 1 Samuel is a great book to pick up. With that in mind, let's look at our passage from 1 Samuel today. First of all, shame on Saul. Shame on that man. Do you realize that Saul was the tallest man in Israel? It's referenced throughout the book of 1 Samuel. And here he comes across Goliath, who is hailed as a giant. We suspect that Saul was about the same size as Goliath. That detail is oftentimes forgotten. That God would so mold and shape the king of Israel that he could be an equal to Goliath. Where is he? He's behind his military in a tent and is afraid. And the entire military follows his suit. His generals, his leaders, everyone. They're afraid of this man, this Goliath. To the point where Goliath will speak blasphemy against God. And the very armies of God, of Israel, do nothing. A bunch of cowards. They stand there as if they have no power, no authority, no ability to fight. But let's not be too hard on the army of Israel. For look at the army of the church today. So many baptized Christians who stand, can see and hear the enemy and do absolutely nothing. They act as if they have no authority, no power, as if the forces of evil are so overwhelming that they can't even do anything, not pray, not speak truth, not fight against it. So let's go back to the Israelite army. There they are, frozen in fear. Oh, the devil loves fear. And the devil loves to make God's people feel helpless, as if we can do nothing. And then who comes on the scene? A boy. David is sent by his father Jesse to take lunch to his older brothers who are in the army of Israel. David arrives, we suspect that he's some perhaps 15 or 16 years old at this point. He is a boy compared to these warriors. And when he comes on the scene, he is so appalled at the blasphemies of Goliath that he says, I will go and fight this giant. For he should not be speaking of God in such a manner. I will fight. And even Saul tries to convince him not to do so. The one who's willing to fight, the king of Israel, says, no, don't do that. You can't do that. Because Saul wants even this young man to understand and to be consumed by fear. But David's heart didn't know that fear. It was too consumed with the love of God. And whether he should live or die, he was going to fight against this blasphemy of this Goliath. And so Saul says, okay, you can go. Now, David was a shepherd. He was smart. So he calculated his enemy. You see, when we fight evil, we also have to be strategic. We're not called to be fools. David began to assess. Goliath has so much armor and was so hampered by that, just encumbered by that, that David knew that would be actually David's strength against Goliath. Saul wanted him to put on his armor. Saul actually put all his armor on David, and we are told that it didn't fit him. He looked like a fool. He just had this heavy armor. He's like, I don't think I need this. He says to Saul, you can keep your armor. I am a shepherd. I know who I am, and I will fight as I am. And he goes against this Goliath. He looked like a human tank, with nothing but a small tunic and those 5 stones he picked up. Because remember, he was a shepherd. And he knew how to defend the sheep against the wolves. And this was a wolf. He took those five little stones. And as Goliath begins to try to attack him, David charges him. Again, he is not a man of fear. He takes those simple stones with his sling, throws it, and hits that giant right between the eyes. And the giant falls. In the original Hebrew, the fall of Goliath before David the anointed parallels the fall of Dagon, the false god of the Philistines, before the Ark of the Covenant. This compare and contrast that we see that as God's presence is found in the Ark of the Covenant earlier in 1 Samuel, here the forces of evil will fall before the anointed, before the king of Israel, who also is a presence of God on earth. We begin to see how powerful David is, the one chosen by God to shepherd and lead his people. We are not told in the passage today, but Saul is watching this. And what do you think would be in the heart of the king of Israel? One would imagine it would be praise. Look at this son of Israel, one of my subjects, who has brought down Goliath. Praise the living God. Praise his power. Praise his strength. Right? That would have been the appropriate response of the king of Israel. But remember, Saul was a coward. He thought that you couldn't fight evil. And this young man, this boy, proved him wrong. And he brought down Goliath. And we are told that Saul looked and saw in David the new king. God showed Saul that David would be king. But he was so arrogant and so proud, rather than accepting that humility and saying, my crown has been taken from me. And it began to mold and shape David as an elder statesman to this young man. No. Instead, Saul would say, I will destroy David. Isn't that the response of jealousy? Isn't that the response of envy? Isn't that the response when we see someone who has the blessings that we were hoping to have? We have to die to all that. We cannot allow jealousy or envy to consume our hearts. We cannot allow this anger in our hearts where we seek the destruction of what is clearly the work of God. For we know by biblical wisdom that when we fight in that context, we do not fight against man. We are fighting against God himself. Saul will continue that fight. And we will see in 1 Samuel, it drives him crazy. He loses his mind. And he ends his own life by tragic suicide. Because that is the conclusion of those who hate God, who are not willing to humble themselves before his works. Today, dear friends, let us look at our own lives. What evil are we encountering that we think we don't have power to fight? Where have we been silent before the evil or the fallenness of our world and chosen not to do anything? Today, let's be inspired by that young David who didn't care whether he lived or died. He was just not going to allow the unbeliever to speak blasphemy against the God of Israel. Let's have that same spirit of surrender. Let's be willing to fight for what is right and good and holy and true. Let us be willing to give our entire lives in order to defend the majesty of God. Do such things, dear friends. And I suspect that we will all be very shocked at the grace that will be unleashed and the power that we will find within ourselves that we didn't think we had.